Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
Good Monday morning, everybody. Hope your day is off to a great start. Key, with that in mind, about you trying to get yourself some help as the number one guy, my youngest, Michael, came to me out of the week, just out of the blue, connected to nothing, saying, hey, who did Keyshawn have as his quarterbacks when he was in the league? And I started lifting off all the guys that you played with, and he was not impressed. So you are right. You are right that you could have used a little help along the way. This is a 14-year-old kid who didn't know any of those names. So he's on your side, Key.
Well, you know what, man? Look, I played with some good guys and good players and stuff. They just didn't, you know, Vinny and Brad Johnson were my two best. I would probably say Ray Lucas was my third.
That's a sharp decline, my man.
You know,
Vinny's fine. Brad is a Super Bowl champion. That's great. But then now we're Ray Lucas territory already.
Yeah, Ray Lucas was probably my third best. My fourth best was probably Sean King. Frank Wright
now.
Was in there. Tom Tupa, Neil O'Donnell, Rick Meyer. Who else did I have, man? I played a game with Rob Johnson, which was pretty good. We played with SC college quarterback, but we only played.
Did you get a little Glenn Foley time in there, too?
Glenn Foley. Rick Meyer. Glenn was on the back, all back end guys, man. Back end dudes. My top three QBs, like I said, was Vinny, Brad, and Ray Lucas. Those are my top three quarterbacks in my career.
Yeah, well,
you know,
I would have liked to have heard another name in there, but
I'm happy with my career. Remember what I always say. One guy career that I would love to have is Jerry Rice's. Outside of that, everybody else, there's a lot of dudes that I'd like to have mine, and I promise you there's no other player's career I would like to have.
The thing that's really funny, Travis, so yesterday as we're getting ready to get into March, you know, some brothers came up hustling with some candy, you know, talking about their flag football team.
Sure.
So we're walking. First of all, Key, what they look like, they were, what, 30, 35 years old? But they followed us and they were talking about blah. And I said, I tell you what, do you know who that is? The guy goes, no. I said, so you play flag football, but you don't know who this is standing next to me. He goes, no. I was like, man, you need to work better on your hustle. You're in LA, but you play flag football, but you don't know who Keyshawn Johnson is. So then he goes, oh, that's Keyshawn. Oh, I couldn't tell. So he goes to Keyshawn. I was like, well, what position did you play?
Punter. Play kicker.
If you don't get out of here with that hustle, your hustle's so broke.
Man, at the end of the day, you know what I always say to that? At least he wasn't robbing and stealing. That's for sure. And if I had some coins in my pocket, I would have helped him. They hit me with Apple Pay.
They take
Apple Pay and Venmo. I was like, man, what? Oh man, it was. I seen it all yesterday, Jorge. When the kids with the candy told me, basically they had a credit card machine in their hand. I was outdone at that point, and I seen it all yesterday. The sharks was circling, and LZ tried to put me in a shark tank.
No. I was just simply allowing you to, you know, experience a full rally.
Me and LZ, we go to the Abbey, and we're having drinks and cocktails, and, you know, because of the sun – and how the sun was sitting, you know, positioning itself where we were sitting, LZ, instead of sitting on the opposite side of the table, he sat kind of next to me to get out of the sun and to also be able to see the street view. So it was two brothers that was over there. And the LZ come back for the restroom, and he'd say to us, oh, you guys look so happy together. And, you know, me, I quickly, I got a wife. She is, she's great. And then LZ, you know, Steve, we work together at ESPN. Oh, I hurry up, put that fire out.
Travis, again.
Yes.
Again, I've never seen him bring up Jen's name so fast.
I was like, oh. I believe it. So, okay, I believe it.
Why don't you just get a t-shirt that just says, I'm with Jen.
Jen's husband.
Jen's husband.
Why not? There was a conference call on Friday of about 100 players Friday night where Kyrie Irving, made a plea for players to not resume the season in Orlando. He suggested that they sit out the remainder of the season, discuss social issues, league economics, and that he wants the entire league to be united in what he believes is the right decision. I mean, Kyrie Irving is a star in this league for sure. He's a great player. But you just wonder if he has the sort of juice to get enough people behind this, because LeBron James wants to play. The stars in this league, almost without exception, want to go back and play. Kyrie Irving's points are not bad points. You just wonder if he's going to be able to get any sort of momentum to get enough people so this becomes something that more than just maybe a small handful of NBA players do.
I think at the end of the day, there are going to be some NBA players that may not play and may elect not to play. But I don't think that it'll be enough to stop the start of the restart of the NBA season. Because the frontline guys that we're talking about, is Giannis not in this? Is Giannis going to play, do you think? You think Giannis
sure.
is playing? You
think, yeah.
You think the majority of the frontline guys at the Clippers are going to play? Mm-hmm. The majority of the frontline guys in Houston? The majority of the frontline guys in Portland, the Lakers. I mean, so when you start looking at it, it's like, well, come on, man. The superstars is going to play. Outside of Kyrie Irving, what superstar said anything about not participating because they think that a message is going to get lost? No, they're all saying we could do both. Don't ever worry, and we're going to keep the fans on point.
Yeah, it's interesting because Kyrie is, I mean, everyone knows what talent is, but you know, I don't think a lot of people view him as a leader on the court or even off the court. So he's like in this weird sort of situation where he's still trying to find some footing, if you will. But I will say though that it has brought up enough of an interesting point, and other players of note have certainly piped up and sort of supported what he was saying, that the union had to actually address it. And there's going to be a point in which the league is going to have to say something in regards to this. And they have to be careful, because what they can't do is in any way demonize black men who says we need to keep fighting in this movement. You certainly can't do that if you're the NBA, because your whole brand is built on being a player partnership. And the space that you're occupying is you've owned, and you don't want to give that up just to get the season back. But
no, I don't think that will players will be demonized at all. What could happen to a guy like, for instance, Dwight Howard, kind of, you know, paired himself with Kyrie Irving in terms of, you know, pushing back on the start of the resuming of the season. What could happen to a guy like Dwight who has come back to LA for a second run, who's been embraced by the Laker fan base as now, okay, we forgive you, you with us, and a guy like LeBron goes on and plays, and a guy like AD goes on and plays, and Rondo and all these other guys go on and play, and you step to the side, and for whatever hiccup that the Lakers come in, and all of a sudden you're not there, and they get bounced or whatever the case may be, and that this movement that we are in is still pushing forward at the level like LeBron says it's going to, and other guys say it's going to, and then you decided not to do that, you're going to get some backlash from the fan base, not necessarily from the NBA, but from the fan base. I'm sure they'll be disappointed in everybody else participating and you not.
Well, there's the pushback potentially from the fans. That's one thing. But you wonder, too, if Kyrie, whether it was done purposely or inadvertently, I don't know, but puts his fellow NBA players in a little bit of a bad spot. Because let's say that Dwight Howard doesn't play. Let's say that some other guys decide not to play. The guys that do decide to play will now have some questions that they're going to have to answer about, hey, why are you here? Why did you decide not to sit out? And instead of being, unified in the message that they're trying to put out there, instead of being unified in that these are the issues that we care about as a league, these are the issues that we care about as individuals, and we're going to work together to put them, that you have a fraction now, albeit it might be a very small fraction, but I mean, if Dwight Howard, and I don't know if you guys have your TVs on in front of you right now, but there's the graphic on First Take, and there's two people on it. It's Kyrie Irving and it's Dwight Howard. So Dwight Howard is in with Kyrie Irving, whether he's officially in or not, the way that it's being positioned, that these are guys that are pushing back against the resumption of the regular season. And now, all of a sudden, whether it's LeBron or Anthony Davis, it's, hey, why are you comfortable going back to work when he's not? It's put them in a little bit of a tricky spot.
Travis, and that's why his agent quickly stepped up yesterday to put out another statement to let you know, no, that's not what he was saying. You know, he wanted you to be wanted to clarify that, because he realizes my client just aligned itself with Kyrie Irving, and that's not what we really wanted to do.
Unless it is.
Unless I was going to say, you know, he legitimately feels that way.
No, and he probably does legitimately feel that way, but to what degree? Okay, they all feel like we want to make sure that this message is still being heard. We all feel that way. Like, I don't want to go back into ESPN and our message all of a sudden just dies. No, I don't want that. I want us to be able to continue to have these conversations and talk about it. Just because it seems like we're allowed to have these conversations now more freely and openly over the last couple weeks or so, let's let this continue. Don't be afraid to let it continue just because this situation has come up. Now all of a sudden we have what I would deem as free reign to talk about it without feeling like we can't talk about it. Let's continue this conversation 7 months, 8 months, 10 months, a year, 2 years from now, because there's a lot of work that needs to be done. But we still can do radio and television and still voice our opinions and still let people know that this is still happening in the world, and not just go back into sports, football, 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 baseball, 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 and forget about what's happening on Hollywood Boulevard or Santa Monica or Sunset or Minnesota or any of these other states that has these tragedies and these things that keep coming up week in and week out. I mean, a guy just got killed in Atlanta a couple of days ago. Like, it's never ending. This is a never ending cycle.
And not to mention, just right up the road in Palmdale, we're still trying to figure out what happened to that young man who was found hanging from a tree in a park near City Hall. You know, it was quickly ruled a suicide. We're still waiting to see if that's true. You know, I haven't been there yet, but from what I understand, you know, they didn't see any ladders, put it this way. So now you're saying the guy climbed a tree, tied a good knot, found a perfect branch that wouldn't break, and then, you know, committed suicide. And given the history of, you know, lynching in this country, you can understand why the citizens in Palmdale are a little concerned that this wasn't a suicide.
Do you guys think that, LZ, the issue that you mentioned in Palmdale, Key, you mentioned in Atlanta. So obviously we're still having moments like we've been outraged by, and they continue to happen. If there is basketball and events continue to happen, will the message be marginalized? Is that not what Kyrie Irving is saying? Is that these issues that continue that have got us to this point, and people are paying attention, arguably for maybe the first time ever?
You know,
and they're going to continue to happen. And that if we're playing basketball, we're not going to be able to pay attention to the things that we need to pay attention to. This is the point he's making, isn't it?
No, it is, but I personally, as I said to you, I don't know, a couple weeks ago, this is here to stay, man. It's different now. It's not 10 years ago where it goes away like that. It's just not, because there's so many. I mean, I felt like when I was with LG yesterday and we were just, you know, marching and doing our deal and protesting, and I just take a look around. And as I was telling LZ, I said, man, just look at all these different people. Man, it was everything. Everything. Anything you can think of, it was. Am I lying to you, LZ?
No lies detected. It was a very, very diverse group.
I felt, Travis, like I was racially profiling people. I'm sitting there looking. I'm like, LZ, look at her. Look at them over there in the corner, man. They look like they up to no good, huh? But they wasn't African American. They wasn't white. You know, it was one of them situations. You look and you're like, man, look at them. The Asians, the Mexicans, blacks, whites, Middle Easterns. I mean, it was crazy. I ain't never seen that before this time. You know, 1992, that wasn't the case.
I'm not trying to speak for Kyrie Irving, but I wonder if that's his point, is that because everybody's paying attention, the more stuff we put into the mix, and by stuff, I mean games, regular movies, bars, gyms, all the stuff that starts to come back online, that we're going to become less focused on where we are right now. Is that not his point?
But them mothers with them kids sitting on that sidewalk, man, they don't care about no damn NBA. I can honestly say that. They don't care about the NBA. They cared about helping their kids understand what's going on in the world. That lady that was walking alongside of us, LZ, with her kids, she brought her daughter there for her daughter to understand what's going on in the world. That poor man who got his 9-year-old kid maced in the face in Seattle, that wasn't about the NBA. That was about his 9-year-old son understanding what's going on in the world. Those people ain't going back to the NBA. They just think they go, this is what they do. This is what they do.
There may be a deadline on the horizon as soon as today for Major League Baseball. We'll explain what that means, whether we'll get baseball or not. That's next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN. So we're talking about basketball for the first time. Maybe there's going to be a fraction of its players that decide that they don't want to play. But basketball is going to happen. The basketball has a plan in place to restart at the end of July. The football has a plan in place to start their season on time, that the MLS is coming back in just a couple of weeks, that we've got all these different leagues. And baseball, guys, is still nowhere. And now it's even more nowhere than it was maybe before the weekend. There was another one of these ridiculous incremental proposals from the owners that said, oh, well, okay, well, how about this, which is about, you know, a fraction different than the last one they did. Tony Clark said, quote, further dialogue with the league would be futile. It's time to get back to work. Tell us when and where. Another negotiator for MLBPA, Bruce Meyer, said, we demand that you inform us of your plans by close of business on Monday, June 15th. So basically, we've gotten to the point where the players are telling the owners, look, you guys, you're going to implement something. The commission is going to implement a 48-50 game schedule. Just tell us when you want us there. We'll play. We're going to get our full prorated salaries. We're done with this. That while everyone else is trying to figure out a way to do this, these guys are still exactly where they were, and now they've put a ticking clock on it.
Good for them, right? I mean, at the end of the day, the owners have got to get real in this situation. I know that the players are saying to themselves, okay, we want to play more than 50 games. Okay, well, if you only want to play 50 games, then some of that television money and that television revenue, you need to part ways with it, not try to keep it all. And that's how the players should be thinking.
It's so bad that it's public. And I can't stress this enough. This is their season. Mm-hmm. Like, it hasn't even started. This is like you're the league that was in spring training and was getting ready to push go. You're the league that had so much time to put a plan in place. So much time. Where did Arizona go? Where did the two-city bubble solution go? What happened to you guys? You're supposed to have been smart about this, and here we are. You know, you're going to miss July 4th. You're plucking around. You're going to end up in August, and you're going to get lost. And you're squabbling over this money, and the owners are trying to make this ridiculous power grab like they were renegotiating the CBA 2 years ahead of time. And it's just so effed up right now. I can't believe that they're stupid.
I am. I can believe it, LC, because I watched the Maguire-Sosa 30 for 30 last night, and it brought you right back to this place. It brought you right back to this place where baseball coming out of the 94 strike, which they didn't play a World Series. They got off to a late start the following year in 1995, and people were furious. They showed all these images of empty ballparks, and people were furious with the baseball organizations and the owners and the players. And, you know, most of their wrath fell on the players, because I don't think a lot of people take the time to understand the economics of what we're talking about, but it's almost irrelevant. They were furious, and then it took the home run chase of 1998 between McGuire and Sosa to kind of bring a lot of people back into the baseball tent. It took a few years to do it, but it did happen. It did happen. And both of these sides, I think, realize this, that they can have this game of chicken where they're saying, I'm not going to offer you anything. The players say, fine, we're not going to play. We'll play a stupid 35 or 48 game or 50 game season. We'll go through this charade with you if this is how you want it, because they're betting, and I would argue they're betting correctly, that they know that baseball maybe in a year or two might have some attendance issues and people will be angry, but it'll come back. It always comes back. It came back after all of these different labor issues. It came back after canceling the World Series. And I saw all the ballparks on the 30 for 30 last night. People were fired up to watch these home runs again. People come back to baseball, and that's what it sucks, because those of us that like to watch baseball are going to miss out on it, or we're going to have a season that's just ridiculous in its construction. But this is what they're betting on. The players are saying, these guys always give in. We'll get what we want. The fans will come back. They'll be mad for a year or two, maybe a little bit longer than that, but they'll come back. They're both betting on the resilience of baseball, and we're the ones that get to decide whether or not we care enough to go back and watch it.
Well, the fans are going to come back, especially teams that are winning. The Dodgers put out a great product. People going to watch, and they're going to go see. Now, if you win, they come, and if you bad, they not coming regardless if it's a strike, or, I mean, if regardless to it's a shortened season or not, even though the fans will be in the seats this year, you know, or maybe even next year, into next year. But at the end of the day, they'll get it resolved at some point, because there's too much money involved. And whenever there's a lot of money involved, things get done.
But and obviously the money now is greater than it was back in 1994. But relatively speaking, there's always been a lot of money involved, and they always do this.
But so this is not a strike situation, though, right? This is not.
It's not a strike situation that the commissioner can say, okay, look, we're starting a season on August 1st. We're going to have 2 months of a regular season. We'll go into the postseason. And they can basically just pick up the season and play it. Now, they can't expand the playoffs without the players' approval, but we're getting close to the end of this CBA. Like LZ said, this CBA that we're currently operating in ends at the end of the 2021 season. So we have this season and next season, and then you are in the strike territory, and then you are in the lockout territory. They don't care. They just, both sides, they don't care, because they know that after we're angry for a few minutes, we'll get over it, because I want to go watch Cody Bellinger hit home runs. I want to go watch the Dodgers win some games. I want to hope they win the World Series for the first time since 1988. All of these things they know that we're going to come back for, and they know that the money will be there waiting for them, even if in the short term we get angry.
Well, you know, we will be back. You know, guys, remember, I bought an Oakland A's T-shirt just so I can troll the Astros at a Padres game. Like, follow that man. Like, I was excited for this season for a lot of reasons. And so I agree that, you know, obviously fans will come back. It's just that we are going to come back begrudgingly. We're going to come back, and we're going to look at them differently. You know, just imagine how good it would have felt if they could have gotten their stuff together and baseball would have started 4th of July weekend.
But do you not think that the fans that are out there, that the fans don't understand that, you know, it's about money? That athletes, we like to win championships at the end of the day, but we ain't playing for free. It's about money. And I think, and I always have thought this way, that fans understand that. This is our workplace. This is our work environment. And I understand, well, there's a lot of people that, you know, people have lost jobs. There's people in economic stress right now and in poverty and all this. And players are arguing with billionaires or arguing with millionaires about money. But at the end of the day, I think people that watch these sports and look at these athletes also understand they're not playing for free, and it's about money.
Key, you know what? It's a great question, and I don't know if I agree with you, because I think that fans are able to have this moment of suspended reality where they don't see the money as it's taken. They get it. They know that Clayton Kershaw makes $35 million. They know that Mike Trout makes $38 million. They know that Bryce Harper gets $30 and Manny Machado and all these guys. They get it, but they also think that this is still that the Little League, the kids game that they play for free. And that's why, because if they understood the economics, just the cold, hard dollars and cents of it all, they'd be far angrier at the owners than they are at the players, because the owners are the ones that are driving the economics of this whole thing by not letting people see what's coming in and what's going out. So they get mad at it when it comes up because they know what the players make. But the second it goes away, they get over it. Because, look, we've all been watching weird stuff during quarantine. I've been watching a ton of MLB Network, and they had this thing called Seasons where they go through all these old seasons. Go back to 1981. It was the same thing. They had a strike. The season shut down for about a month in the middle of it, and then they rebooted. People were pissed, and then they weren't, and they came back. Fast forward to 94, same thing. Here we are in 2020, same thing. That, yes, they're mad in the moment, but it goes away really quickly because the money, the equations, they lose track of them once the games start again.
Listen, it's we are going to forget, which is part of the reason why we wanted to vacate Houston's title, because we didn't want to forget. But we're going to forget, and we're going to forget the circumstances and who was wrong. We'll see the games. If there's 80-some games, as the player said, we'll see that. We'll see a champ. We're going to move on. But right now, the moment, we need to remember the owners are doing this. This one's on the owners and the money grab and the power grab.
Dwight Howard, is he going to play when the NBA comes back? We're not quite sure. That's next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your dentist to actually believe you?
And you're flossing every day.
Absolutely.
Great. And you're cutting down on your sweets?
Of course.
Wonderful. Then I don't even need to look in there.
Great. See you in 6 months.
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.
NBA is scheduled to come back the end of next month, but Kyrie Irving is telling players that he believes it would be a mistake to return because they have momentum on some social justice causes, and he does not believe that playing NBA basketball will help that. In fact, he believes that it'll take attention away from that. Dwight Howard agrees with the message. Now, Dwight Howard has not said officially if he's going to sit out or not. The Lakers say that there's still plenty of time to figure this out, but how big of a deal is it, guys, if Dwight Howard decides, you know what, I'm not ready to go back to the NBA. I feel like the timing is all wrong. I am not going to play. What does that do for the Lakers?
I think it puts the Lakers in a tough situation, but it would also put Dwight in a tough situation, I believe, with Laker fans, because I'm of the belief that the message is still going to be loud and clear and being told. I don't think that if that's the case, if it's going to distract from telling the message, then you're telling the NFL it's the same thing. Then you're saying to the NFL they shouldn't come back either. I mean, that just it. You know, I don't know how well thought out that plan of Kyrie coming out and saying this was, but I certainly look at Dwight's situation in L.A. He's been embraced here again. People respect him again. They like him on the Lakers again. And when you have LeBron James and Anthony Davis and Rondo and other guys, JaVale McGee and other guys playing, and then you sitting out, it's not going to sit well. Now, he's entitled to do whatever he chooses to do. And certain people would say, okay, you can't vilify him for believing in a cause. No, that's not it. The part of it is you've put yourself in a better position now as a basketball player in a city of L.A., which is chasing a championship, but not losing sight of the message. You can do both. You know, I think you could do both. I would be able to do both and still be able to keep the fans – you know, interested in both, not just one or the other. And that's kind of what Kyrie is trying to say is you need to pick a side. Either you're going to deal with the NBA or you're going to deal with the movement. And you could do both, like LeBron saying, like many players are going to start saying. You certainly can do both. And you certainly can keep the fans invested in both.
So I have breaking news, gentlemen. Breaking news.
Bum, bum, bum.
Bum, bum, bum. In a historic decision, Supreme Court rules Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, which prohibits discrimination on the basis of sex, also applies to gay or transgender people. Today, gentlemen, because you probably don't know this, the Supreme Court has said it is unconstitutional to fire people for being gay, lesbian, or transgender. Finally, this is huge news because you may not know this in California, but there are parts of the country in which it's in the books in which it is perfectly okay to fire people for being gay. Still. And today, in 2020, they finally said, you can't fire people for being gay. It's a huge day. Huge, huge day in this country. Changes are happening. Fairness is happening. There is a movement happening. There's a groundswell in which we're saying enough with the prejudice. And Kyrie and Dwight Howard and Lou Williams and George Hill and others are saying we don't want to do anything to take away from this momentum. And I certainly understand where they're coming from. I do, because this is a decision that I was really nervous about. Really nervous about. And I don't know how the Supreme Court would have ruled if the country wasn't in the midst of these protests. That's how powerful this is. I don't know if we would have gotten this favorable ruling that says if I were to move to Montana, you can't fire me for being gay, which was legal up until just now. I don't know if we didn't have the people in the streets say my name, Breonna Taylor, say his name, George Floyd. I don't know if the Supreme Court rules this way, but there's this movement towards equality and fairness. We're sick of this BS holding us back. And I think these guys bring up a valid point that are we coming back at the right time? Or should we just let this moment, this day of reckoning in the country happen and just be part of it to uplift the change agents as opposed to be something that may distract you from the change agents?
Doesn't it come down to this, that can you do both? Can you do both effectively? Can you continue to push for the changes that we want to see? Can the NBA be that voice? Because look, let's be honest. The NBA is at the forefront of this when it comes to empowering their players to say what's on their mind. The NBA does that better than the other leagues in this country. Can you continue to have the guys like LeBron James, who are incredibly active in communities, who we talked about it last week. LeBron James is putting together an organization to get out the vote, to try to remove voter suppression and things like that, get more people to the ballot box and still go and play NBA basketball and compete for an NBA championship? Or does just the mere act of having a league up and running distract from the other things that we're trying to get done? And to LeBron is saying, no, of course I can do both. Of course we can get both of these things done. And Kyrie Irving is of a different opinion. He's saying, no, that if we have something else in the universe that's distracting us from this, that means this gets less attention. And I guess it's just a matter of how you feel about this. And like you said, no one is going to jump up and down and scream and yell that Dwight Howard's a bad guy and how could he leave the Lakers hanging if, in fact, he decides to not go play. It'll be one of those, oh, man, I really wish he was here, but I get it. I get it because he feels that this needs his full attention, and maybe he feels that if I don't play, more people will be paying attention to the issues at hand. That's what we're talking about, that whether or not you think having a league sports diminishes the message of the movement. See, and who knows?
I just don't think that it does, because there's the athletes that is part of the movement, but then there's society. And the large portion of society that's out there isn't glued to the television stations worrying about the NBA. They're more worried about what's going on in them streets right now. And that needs to stay that way. Just because you're an NBA fan or a sports fan don't mean that you have to lose sight of what's happening out there. It doesn't mean that. It's different now than it was before, Travis. As I said to you before, I looked around, man. I watched. I'm observing. I'm paying attention. Every gender, every race, everything. It was right there. I was in the middle of it. And it's different. Man, I ain't, you know, it was white mothers and fathers sitting on the curb with their white little kids with signs. They just want to get in a picture to be on the front of a magazine? I don't think so. I don't think so. They weren't taking photo ops. They was trying to teach their kids something.
Take It or Shake It is coming up next on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN. All right, Key, let's start with what you and LZ did yesterday afternoon. You were about to get attacked by the sharks, as you put it, at your lunch yesterday. Take It or Shake It.
Well, I would take it.
Oh, take it.
Yeah, I would take it. I had LZ there, so he knew how to communicate with him to get him to. Because that's what I told him. I said, man, you need to talk to them dudes, man. I can't communicate with these dudes. I might say something. They might think it's okay.
Travis, I had to use my gay telepathy.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I used my gay telepathy. So I told them. With, you know, a gentle look, this one's off limits. It's okay. Keep it moving.
You think I'm lying, Travis? I did tell him. I said, man, you got to talk to them. Man, I can't communicate with these dudes.
Dude
running up on me with silver glitter all on his chest. Tell him, do I like glitter? I'm like, man, if you
I mean, does anybody not like glitter?
I told him. I immediately, quickly said, man, I got married. I'm good. LZ, handle this, man. Get this dude, man.
Travis, he didn't even answer the damn initial question. The kid just asked if he liked glitter. He didn't say yes or no. He said, Jen.
I'm married. Jen.
Do you like glitter?
Yeah. Oh, well, I'm glad you did, Kia.
They were circling around our table, man. I was just like, what cat? What cat exercise? Right to his right. He done went around the table four times like he can't find the exercise. I'm like, man, if you don't get out of here.
Just making sure he's got the landline. All right, let's move on to another one. Kyrie Irving is the wrong messenger for a good message. Take it or shake it.
Shake it. I don't think that he's the wrong person for a good message. I just think that his message doesn't hold any weight at the level that he's trying to get. That's just it. I don't think that his message holds any weight. I understand, and it's certainly, you know, within his right to feel a certain way, but I don't think that because the NBA season starts back up that all of a sudden everything that we did yesterday and everything that we've been doing for the last several months is going to come to a screeching halt.
You don't think if this was Chris Paul, for instance, who's incredibly popular amongst the rank and file of the NBA, or LeBron James, who is, you know, on an entirely different. If LeBron James said, you know what, guys, we shouldn't go back and play, and here's why, and said the exact same thing that Kyrie Irving is saying, that it wouldn't have more traction?
I think it would have more traction, but the crazy thing about it is I don't think LeBron James would ever say that, though. So it's hard to put that in context. You feel me? Like, sure. I just don't think LeBron would ever say something like that. He would say, if we gonna play, we need to still be doing this.
I'm trying to think of somebody, because you're right, Key, and LZ, maybe you can throw a name in here too, that it isn't like LeBron James is not only the biggest name in the NBA, LeBron James is the biggest name in sports. So if he said something, it obviously would resonate incredibly widely, not just in his own league, but across other sports. But Kyrie Irving is almost the exact opposite of LeBron James. Kyrie Irving says some wild stuff, some crazy stuff, and more often than not, when Kyrie Irving starts talking, people start rolling their eyes. I'm trying to think of somebody in the middle who, if they brought this issue to the table, might get a little bit more attention. Somebody that's been around a long time, somebody that has some, you know, maybe a guy like Kawhi Leonard, for instance, who is not terribly outspoken, who does not say much very often, but if he came out and had this message because of the player he is, because of the status he holds in the league, what would the response be if somebody like Kawhi said something like that?
I think it's not about their place in basketball right now. It's what they've been doing. See, LeBron James has gravitas in this area, guys, because everybody in the league, everyone in the world knows he's been operating in this space big. He's been putting his money where his mouth is. He's been putting his tweets and directing it towards people. He's put out documentaries. He's producing movies. He's got a new program that's helping get people out to vote. So LeBron James has so much weight in this space. When he says, I'm coming back to play and I can keep it, do the other things as well, he's already shown exactly that. That's the aspect of this conversation that's going to be difficult for anybody to overcome. It's the guy who is saying, I'm playing ball, is so heavily invested publicly in the conversation of social justice that it's hard to push back against that. And that's what ultimately is going to override what Kyrie or anyone else says. Because other than maybe Chris Paul, who's pretty public, nobody in the league is close to LeBron James in this space right now.
Well, I think, you know, Russell Westbrook does things.
Oh, different. Yeah, they do things.
They just do them a little bit different.
They're just not as public with it. That's what
they're
I'm
not
trying
as public.
To say.
There's not, right. They're not as public. LeBron is just a little more out there. One is because he is the NBA for all intents and purposes, and he has a platform that he's been taking advantage of, much like LZ has been saying, where, you know, Kyrie Irving is just, you know, it's one of
he's
those.
A different stroke. He's like, a different stroke.
You know, he's the same dude that said this. He's the same dude that said that. He couldn't get along with LeBron. Is he trying to go against LeBron in this one just because he's doing it, but doing it in a different way? You know, all of those sort of things. At the end of the day, I still think the NBA plays. I still think that the message is here to stay. It's loud and clear, and we all going to fight this fight together.
All right, let's go to the NFL here. Here's Field Yates talking about Cam Newton and whether he believes Cam Newton's going to have to take a backup role.
Yeah, I don't think there's a specific team that anybody has heard of substance that he could be headed to. What I do think is that while I think there, if Cam wanted a deal comparable to Andy Dalton or Jameis Winston, and I don't necessarily mean financially, I mean in terms of, hey, you're taking a deal because you're the clear-cut backup to our quarterback, and if something happens, we're glad to have you. But for now, don't make any mistakes about it. You are number two. I think that could be available to Cam right now. I just don't know that Cam wants that, right? And can you blame that, right? Like, can you blame him for that?
Cam Newton will be a number two quarterback when the season starts. Take it or shake it.
Take it.
Oh, take it.
Yeah, he'll be the number two when the season starts. I've seen this movie before. It's not, we sign a guy, we sign him, and all of a sudden he's our number one 3 weeks into the season. That's you said when the season starts.
Mm-hmm.
There's no team that he goes to where he becomes a starter immediately. Because if that was the case, he'd already be signed for a starting team and a starting position right now. You got to look at where he's at, who's out there that needs a quarterback, that has a quarterback that they don't really feel good about, that they may want to have a guy like this take over. So you got to look at all the situations. You don't want to bring him in to a situation that's fragile. You know, Chicago would have been a great situation for him if he would have been released earlier, because they could actually sign him and say he's the starter. You know, or New England could say he's the starter. But there's other teams that he could come in that's fragile. You know, the quarterback spot is a little bit fragile. You know, like the Denver Broncos, they could sign him, and that quarterback spot's a little fragile. And say you come in and you sit behind this dude, Drew Lock, for training camp, you rotate and see where it goes. That situation could be good. Or you look at some bad teams. You don't want to go to a bad team, though. You don't want to go to a bad team just to be a starting quarterback if you Cam Newton.
All right, let's go back to basketball here. A tweet from Rock Nation Sports letting us know that the Ball family has signed with that organization. The Ball family will get it right this time. Take it or shake it.
Take it.
Oh, take it.
Yeah, I think that they certainly are going to get it right. I mean, that's a good signing for Rock Nation. It's a good signing for the Ball family. It's good all the way around. I think the people that at Roc Nation will guide them in the right direction and look out for them as long as they continue to keep playing ball and doing well on the court. You know, I think that it doesn't hurt to have another kid come along that's a top five pick that can demand, you know, some certain things in the shoe market, in the shoe place, in the shoe space. It doesn't hurt at all. Congrats to both of them.
You wonder if that's what makes this thing go. If LiAngelo is the guy, or who's the youngest brother? I get the two other brothers.
I'll stop trying to figure it out. Ball.
Yeah, the youngest member of the Ball family, of the Ball brothers, if he isn't the one that's going to make this go. Because Lonzo has been in the league for a few years and to some mixed results. He's had some time where he's looked really good. He's had some other times where he hasn't. But Lonzo's personality, I do not think, is going to move product. Lonzo's personality is just, it's kind of benign. He really doesn't say a whole lot, and he's not a terribly demonstrative player. Does this go or not go based on the youngest brother? Because the middle one isn't going to be in the league.
Well, the middle one is not going to be in the league. In all likelihood, I don't know how hard he's working to try and get like in the G League and come up that way. I don't know. But I do know that the youngest, LaMelo, they're projecting him to be the number one pick. And clearly whatever he did in Europe has impressed them. You know, we know he shot up. He's about as tall as his brother now. And he was always the better scorer. In terms of just form and creativity, he's got the floater that I've been critical of Lonzo not having. LaMelo has that floater already. So as long as they ball, no pun intended, as long as they ball, they're straight. They're going to be good. They're going to be just fine. Because the two guys that will make it, Travis and Key, they're going to be in the league for a minute because they're good. They're that good.
All right, Greg Popovich had some words for Roger Goodell. He's not buying Roger Goodell for 1 second. We'll hear from Pop next on the morning show on 710 ESPN.